Okay, so we begin today the next Siman Kuf Yud Beis. It's not part of Hilchos Taruos anymore. I guess officially this is part of the curriculum. Not exactly sure, but Lamaisa will learn a little bit about Hilchos Pasakum, Bishalakum, then the Tfilas Kelim and Hekshar Kelim in the next couple of weeks, Beis Hashem. We'll try and go through some of the major points like we always do. So we begin now Siman Kuf Yud Beis. And that's the laws of Pas Akum, a bread of a non-Jew. And we begin, the point of departure is a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah that we've actually seen a couple of times. The Mishnah is in source number one of the Makoros and Daf Lamed Heyam Beis in Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah says, Ve'elu Dvarim Shel Ovdei Kochov Masurin Ve'eini Surin Isur Hano. There's an Isur to consume the following things which relate to a non-Jew, but there's no Isur Hano. One of them is cholov, shecholva over kachov mein Yisrael roehu. Okay, that's not our topic now, but that's a cholov akum, okay, as opposed to cholov Yisrael. What it means is the milk was milked by a goy and produced by a goy, and there was no Jew around to see. There, the concern has to do with we're afraid that maybe it's non-kosher milk, meaning it's milk from a non-kosher mammal. All mammals produce milk, not only cows and goats, which of course are sheep, whatever, kosher animals, but also camels and pigs and donkeys and whatever else. So we have no way of knowing for sure when a non-Jew sells milk, did he get the milk from a cow? Did he get the milk from, which is a kosher animal? Or did he get the milk from a non-kosher animal, which case a problem Yotzim and also Yotzim and Atame. We've discussed in the past that Din of Chol Yisrael is a necessity. It's not a, it's a Mishnah here. Okay, the only reason people today, many people today, many of us are Makel today on Chol Avakum, Chol Stam, because and the post can say this way, Moshe Feinstein writes this way, that it's mutter, even though he recommends not relying on the kula, but he allows it. Tzvi Pesach Frank and others say that today in many countries, including the United States, again, the concern with Chol Yisrael is that the milk maybe came from a non-kosher source. However, it happens to be that the law in the United States of America is that if you sell milk, stam milk, it says milk on the carton or on the box, it has to be from a cow. That's the rule. If you can sell other milk is available, it has to be labeled as such. You can get camel milk, it's available, but it has to be labeled. If it just says milk, then it's from the milk from the cow. Why they made that rule, I don't know. That's the rule. Okay, and that's the rule in the United States. And therefore, Moshe writes, and others point out, that no milk salesman, no milk manufacturing company is going to want to risk putting in milk from a different mammal and get caught by the government and fined or lose their license or whatever else. So therefore, they're frightened enough that they're concerned enough that, of course, they're not going to violate it. Whether this is true in other countries, you have to check. We've discussed in the past, some other countries may not be the rule. So other countries, for sure, it's not. I think in the European Union, in Europe, I think it is the rule now. The EU, I think it is the rule. Anyway, you have to check in every, you know, in every land whether that's true. It's not an automatic rule. So where it's true, then you can rely on Cholov Stam and not worry about Cholov Yisrael, although many people, as we well know, are careful always to have Cholov Yisrael, even in America and other places where it happens to be a law in the land, which obviates the problem. In any event, that's the first thing mentioned in our mission. That's not the problem. But then it says, V'hapas, V'hashemen shalohen. Included in the Xera is pas, bread from a non-Jew, and oil, Hashem means olive oil. Olive oil manufactured by a non-Jew, that's also not permissible. Doesn't say why. We'll have to see. Then the Gemara says, Rebbe, the Mishnah Rebbe says, Rebbe Beis Dino Hitiru Hashemen. At some later time, Rebbe Biranasi and his Beis Din revoked or repealed the Xera against Shemen. Okay, we'll have to analyze that momentarily, but that's what it says. And it also says, going back now to what's Osir v'hashlokos, v'hashlokos. Hashlokos means, for our purposes, as Rashi says, we'll come back to the first Rashi in a second, the second Rashi of hashlokos, kol dover shebishlu over kachavim, means a cooked food. Okay, sometimes we find shlokos means specifically vegetables or sometimes overcooked, but in the context of this mission, shlokos simply means food cooked by a non-Jew. We call it bishalakum, right? Food cooked by non-Jew, shlokos. And also kavoshin shadarkon lisalosei sotokon liayin rechomet. Certain other types of things where Rashi explained kavoshin, lichbosh dog in v'yerek v'rosh raglayim shel behema rechomet. They would sometimes soak fish or vegetables or the head or the legs of the animal in some kind of vinegar. I don't know if you ever heard of pachah. Okay, pachah was jellied calves' feet, I think, like that. Some people consider it a delicacy. I couldn't tolerate it, but sometimes. Okay, so these types of things. All right, but we're most interested today in pas and shemen. Okay, before we get to the detail, just look at the first Rashi. It's printed there on Avodah Zarah, Lamed Hei Amud Beis, on the Mishnah, source number two. It says Rebbe and Beis Dino. So Rashi tells us it's a mistake. Lo Garcina, the Halav Ihu Sharye. Rashi says it's a mistake. It's not Rebbe. Okay, it was not Rebbe and his Beis Din that repealed it. El or Behuda Nesia. There are two different people. There's Rebbe and Behuda Nesia. Okay. Behuda Nesia was a grandson of Rebbe, had the same name. So he was also the Nasi. So he was called Behuda Nesia. That's not the same as Behuda HaNasi. Rebbe was Behuda HaNasi. So Rashi got mixed up. It was Behuda Nesia, Bar Berei Sharia, Kedamar Gemara, Mistamach was Behuda Nesia. Okay, Rabbi Huda Nesia de Gemara, Heiner Rabbi Huda Anasi Beno Sharabi Gamliel Ben Rabbi Sharabi Me'am Oroyim. This is Rashi's historical point. Rabbi Huda Nesia, who sometimes referred to in the Gemara, he was the grandson of Rabbi, Rabbi Huda Anasi. Carried the same name, he had the same title. But to distinguish, we call Rabbi Rabbi Huda Anasi and his grandson Rabbi Huda Nesia. Rabbi Huda Nesia was later. Rabbi Huda Anasi, obviously, the end of the Tekufa Satanoim, he compiled the Mishnah, as we know. And his grandson, as Rashi says, was Shahab Amoraim. He was later in the time of the Amoraim. Rabbi Huda Anasi Beno Shabbat Gamliel Hora. Okay? Rabbi Beno Shabbat Shimon Gamliel Haya. Okay, Rabbi Rabbi Anasi was the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, the famous of Shimon Gamliel. Okay, so there were also two Rabbi Gamliels. There's Rabbi Gamliel Hazokain sometime. We know that Rabbi Gamliel Hazokain was the grandfather of Rabbi Anasi. And he had a Rabbi Gamliel Hazokain had a son of Shimon Gamliel, his son of Rabbi Anasi. Then Rabbi Anasi had a son who also called his name, named his son Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, that was the second Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Huda Anasi was the Rabbi Huda Nesia, rather, was the son of Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Huda Anasi. Okay, you got all that. You can read it in the Rashi, but in any event, Rashi is coming to tell us that it was not the Beis Din of Rebbe, but Rabbi got mixed up. The copies got mixed up. They thought it was Rabbi Huda Anasi. It wasn't Rabbi Huda Anasi. It was Rabbi Huda Nesia. Okay, anyway, in any event, that's the line. Let me explain about Shemin. Okay. Because what's the idea with shemen? So we have to understand that shemen, specifically olive oil, was a major staple of the diet in Eretz Yisrael at that time. It was used for eating and for salads and actually for cooking also, because otherwise everything sticks to the pot. You know, today we have the spritz, or something, you have Teflon pans and pots. The things don't stick. These things do stick sometimes to that too. But it's better today because of the way the manufacturer, the way the pots and the pans are manufactured, in the absence of those more advanced type of pots and pans. So oil was used as to make sure things didn't stick to the pots and pans. Olive oil was very, very common. Was a very common thing, as of course was bread. Bread was, and still some places is, maybe less so in the United States now, but bread was the staple of the meal. Everything was eaten in association with bread. The Bracha Vamotzu, covers everything. Everything else is sort of, in the language of the Chazal, lafes asapas. It's as an accompaniment to enhance the bread, but the bread is the main thing. So those two things manufactured by a non-Jew are usher. And now let's look in Rashi. Okay, Rashi v'ashlokos, I left out the first part, but the shlokos again meant, I left the second part. I mean, l'shlokos means kol dover shebish lovet kochavim, right? Some cooked by non-Jew. Not necessarily bread, not oil, anything cooked by a non-Jew. V'afilu b'kli tahar, Rashi says, even as a kosher utensil. Meaning, unlike by Chalav Yisrael, the concern was that they're going to mix in some non-kosher ingredients. Here we're not talking about that. When it comes to pas akum or shemen akum, it's 100% kosher ingredients. We're not worried if the klitar was a kosher pot, was a pot that wasn't used for anything else. Okay, it's got nothing to do with kashrus in terms of the ingredients. Rather, says Rashi, keywords are kulu mishum chasnus. These are all gzeres to prevent intermarriage. Okay, what does it mean to prevent intermarriage? So again, we know about the seriousness of Avodah Zarah, and Chazal were concerned that Jews should not have excessive social interaction with non-Jews. Doesn't say you have to eliminate it altogether, but sometimes people have to get together for business or, want to be friendly to a neighbor and so on, but not too much social interaction. That's the idea. What's the point? The point is that food is very often, and drink, and we know about the yayin, right? That it's not here, but we know about the yayin of Avodah Zarah also. Okay, besides the yayin that he's using Avodah Zarah, even Stam Yayin, I'm not using Avodah Zarah, but again, there's a concern that the Chazal wanted to eliminate or minimize social interaction between Jews and non-Jews. And food is very often something which is, in addition to something people enjoy, do because they need the nourishment, they do because they enjoy, food is also, it's a social activity. We eat together. People go out to eat. You know, business people go out to eat, right? They want to close a business deal. They go out to eat. I think I once may have told you that my brother-in-law, in Eretz Yisrael, is one of the heads of the Tcheles. You know, it's called Amutat Ptil Tchelet. You know, they manufacture the Tcheles from the Murex snail that many people wear. I wear it. Shechter wears it. Many people wear that blue Tcheles. So how did he get involved in this? Talmud Chacham, in Yerushalayim, Yerushalmi. I mean, he's originally from Europe, but, older, not that older, maybe a little older, I'm not sure, not that old. But he's a big Talmud Chacham. He's written many of the Sfarim, names of Eliyahu Tevger. He's written a number of the Sfarim that they've published. This week, they always have a big thing. This week, we're a week behind Eretz Yisrael, right? So this coming Sedra by them is Shlach. They learn Balos Shabbos. We have to learn Balos for this Shabbos. We fall behind Shavuos, right? Because second day of Shavuos was Shabbos. So we had a learning for Shavuos, and by them was already not Shavuos anymore. So they learned the next Sedra, which is Nosos. So they're a week ahead of us until we catch up in a few weeks. But anyway, so the week of Parsha Shlach, because Parsha Shlach has at the end the Parsha of Tzitzis. So my brother always has a big thing. They release articles and the Torah and so on, because it connects to the Parsha. So anyway, this is over there. Has written many, many articles in Sfarim on the issue of Tcheles. So out of my brother-in-law and his two friends, two American guys, and him got involved because so if Tevger wanted to get the snails, what he was convinced the Murex snails are the correct snails for Tcheles, so he put an ad in some paper or something like that. He was looking for any students who know how to scuba dive. Any young people interested in scuba diving. So my brother-in-law went, he got his undergraduate degree and his PhD from Columbia. And at Columbia, he took scuba diving as his gym requirement. I guess I don't think why you offer scuba diving as a gym requirement, but Columbia does. So he knew how to scuba dive. So he signed up with this. He was interested in this. And that's how things got started. They had a whole meeting and they explained alumnus and he and a couple other guys at the school, they got all these snails, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, why I tell you this now, because this Talmud Chacham. So these three American guys, we're going to make a foundation. We're going to start a business. What do? You go out to eat. Well, you have a whole dinner and you sit out. This man had never been in a restaurant. This Jew had never set foot in a restaurant before. It's a different type of background. But for us, you know, going out to a restaurant, that's what you do, right? You have a business meeting, go out to eat. So that's the Chazal concern, that if there's excessive, and I can tell you, my wife has told me, I mean, you know, I'm in the yeshiva world, so dealing with Jews. But my wife has told me when you go to, for many, many years and a nurse and so on, and she's still a nurse, but that's not what she's working at, but right now. But, she was a nurse in a hospital and she would go to conferences and so on. And she was a clinical director of an oncology wing and she would go to conferences and, go to the meetings with the day and night. Everyone goes out to eat. What are you doing? Go out to eat. Yeah, but it becomes a social activity, right? Going out for drinks, going out for eating. This is a social activity. And she said it's definitely a great divide. She couldn't go. She couldn't participate. If you go, that's a salad. You know, it's always awkward. So, in any event, Chazal understood that eating is a social activity as well, and they sought to minimize interaction between Jews and non-Jews that could lead. You know, you sit, you talk, you're eating, you start schmoozing. You have a daughter. I have a son. Blah 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 blah. So next thing you know, there's a concern of intermarriage. That's what Chazal. That's what Rashi is telling us here. About Zohar, I'm in Hamer Bay. The end of that Rashi, Vashloka is with Kula Mishum Chasnus. All of this had to do with preventing intermarriage. We should have some dividing line, and eating is a dividing line. We can get along with our non-Jewish neighbors. We can do business with them and so on and so forth, but social interaction should be minimized. That was the concern. And so therefore, we don't use any olive oil produced by them. We don't use any bread produced by them. So now let's look at the Gemara a little bit later on Avodah Zarah Lamed Vav Mit Beis. Gemara says, Gufa, Amar Bali, Amar Avimi, Nosa Mishmei Derav. Piton Vishamnon, okay, the pas of Avodah Kochavim, Shemen of Kochavim, Yenon, Yayin of Avodah Kochavim, Ubnosein, Kulon, Mishmona, Osar, Dovar, Hain. These are all part of the famous Yud Ches Dovar. The Gemara in the end of the first parak of Shabbos has a whole list of Gzeris that were passed. There was one day when the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel got together. There were more members of Beis Shammai present. They voted in the famous Yud Ches Dovar, 18 decrees, 18 dinim were established there. Okay, And that's what we follow, the famous Yurches Dover, the whole list. And these things are among those things that were established at that time as part of the Shmonas Dovarash, the Gemara tells us. What is Benosehen? What do you mean? What? So the Gemara allowed, what's Benosehen? Ma'is, it's not really our topic. Amar of Nachman, it's a gozo Benosehen, Nidos, Meritzos, Arisusa. Remember, Michos Nida, that we assume that a non-Jewish woman, is a non-Jewish girl, is already automatically Nida, no matter what. Okay, without the details of that now, it's Zeh Darbonon. Ugniva, Mishum, Meshirava, Mishre, the Rav, Amar, Kula, Mishum, Avedos, Chavim, goes over hen. Okay. Okay, it all has to do with idolatry. That's the other thing. Okay, the neither one is a separate one, but the others have to do with non-Jews and intermarriage and so on. The chiosar of achabar ada, I'm going to be gozu al piton mishum shamnon, that they were goes there on pasakum because of shemen akum. Pasakum because of shemen akum. So we're asked, well, what do you mean? Why my ulma shemen the shemen pas? What do you mean? Why were they more? It sounds like they were more concerned about shemen akum. They're more concerned about oil produced by non-Jews. So they also asked the bread. So the Gemara is my omer the shemen pas. Why is shemen worse than pas? Whereas the Ella, what it means is al piton v'shamnon mishum yenon. Okay, al yenon mishum benosayin, v'benosayin mishum davar acher. Okay, no, rather pas and shemen were really extensions of the gzer of yayin. Again, like I said before, you go out to drink, what? You have a glass of wine, right? That's what you do. You want to have a social get together with somebody else, so you go out for drinks together. So as I said, even if the wine wasn't, if the wine was used for avodah zarah purposes, that's a deraisa. We're talking about here, these are all issur derabanan. Let's bear that in mind, obviously. These are all, you know, the old zeris mi derabanan. So the wine of a non-Jew, even if it wasn't used for avodah zarah, but because wine is very often, to this day, associated with social, you know, get-togethers, people go out for drinks, you have a glass of wine, you all kind of offer a glass of wine, right? That's a typical thing that happens at social get-togethers. Chazal wanted to minimize those kinds of social get-togethers between Jews and non-Jews because of a concern for intermarriage. They asked wine. And by the extension, they also asked bread and oil also. Again, so Ella, never mind, the Benosayim was not the issue of neither, according to this approach. Again, it's not our problem. But Al-Pitan Mishan Mishum Yein, Al-Yein Mishum Benosayim, Al-Benosayim Mishum Dabar Acher. Dabar Acher means Avodah Zarah. Sometimes why does one even use the word avodah zarah? We've had that in other cases also, the rachah sometimes. It's saras, things that are particularly heinous or particularly distasteful. So sometimes we're going to call that dover acher. Rashi tells us, right? Rashi tells us about the Mishulis Rashi in 4, and there in Lo'alam Vam Beis. But I'm saying, Asum Mishum dover acher means avodah selilim. Okay, means avodah zarah. In other words, these are all bottom line for our purposes, as Rashi says. Look in the next Mishum Yeinu Yayin Borba Mavila. They've been saying, right? Wine. You drink a little bit, you get a little tipsy, you get a little over friendly. So the next thing you know, you're with this girl. She's non-Jewish. Okay, but it's happened. You know, it sounds like, isn't it ridiculous? Not ridiculous at all. Not ridiculous at all. Okay, it's a problem. A problem to this day. Okay, so in any event, that's the basis for the Isser of Pas Akum, which is our topic now. Okay, it's similar to Shemen Akum, and it's. Because again, I remember olive oil was also a very basic kind of food. Today, we won't, at least in this part of the world, we don't look at the olive oil in that same sense. But it's, again, not only because they ate olives and the oil as you know, as a garnish for salad, but also, as I said before, for cooking purposes, olive oil was important, and not to have sticky things, not to have the pots and pans that get stuck with all kinds of gook and so on. Again, today, we don't have that same problem. Okay, so now let's turn to source 5. Tosas asks a very interesting question. Tosas wonders why are pas and shlokos divided into two things. In other words, it says in the Mishnah, pasakum and shemen. Okay, again, we'll leave out shemen for now. And shlokos means, as Rashi explained back in source 2, called over shabishlav the kochav. It's the same thing. It's tikkun ochlin, right? Why have a separate category that you ask bread? Bread's included under bishlakum. Right? Why wouldn't bread be included under bishlakum? Right? I mean, why should bread be different? Why did he have a separate statement about bread? It should be included under Bishul Akum, right? Bishul, you tell me, oh, but Bishul means cooking and the bread is not cooked, it's baked. Yeah, but let's say in Shabbos, we lump them together, right? We talk about Bishul on Shabbos, that includes baking. In fact, in the list in the Mishnah of the 39 Malachas, the Malacha number 11 is Ofer. Ofer. That tax is baking. We call it Bishul. We talk about Bishul on Shabbos. Hilchos Bishul on Shabbos. Okay, Bishul. Okay, it is Bishul. I mean, but in the list in the Mishnah, in the third Amalachas, the Mishnah of Abayim Gimel and Shabbos, is Ofer, right? So it's the same thing, right? It's preparing food. However, now, we learned in the beginning of Hilchos Basar V'Cholav, remember? Maybe Tzli is different, maybe Tigon is different. I don't know that issue right now, but what's bothering Tosas is why, here, there's Tosfos Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. I forgot to mention, it's the next Lamed. It's Lamed Zayin Amud Beis in Avodah Zarah. Tosfos wonders, why do we have to have a separate, a separate gzera, a separate statement, not a separate gzera, it looks like, but a separate statement of Mishnah, Pasachum, and also food cooked by him. It's the same thing. What's the difference? It's cooked, it's baked. It's the same issur, right? So Tosfos gives an interesting answer. Okay, why is pas different than shlokos? Why in a different category? It's all tikkun achila. So Omer ben Atam, this dibra masul shlokos, hashlokos, tosos of rozor lamed zayin beis five. Omer ben Atam, midaboy a talmud of shlokos v'kasav midaraisa yishama gzera kadmonisi v'lo nigzera ima pas. He says simply it was a historical progression that originally they did not aser pas. Okay, at the same time. Ushlokos he inone tavshil k'demashma hachshmai. So that's umitchila gozu aleha mitam chasos v'alapas lo gozu mishum delo shayach bechasos. These gzeres, there was a progression. So Tosfos posits and Rabbi Tam that the gzera of bishalakum, the gzera of shlokos again being cooked by a non-Jew, that was an earlier gzera kadmonis. It came first. Okay, and they originally did not aser pas akum. They didn't aser pas originally. Then ad shabo shame v'hilal v'goz v'urchezrom gam al pas. And at a later stage, historically, they added pas akum to list also. So that's what Tosfos says is the teretz. That's why they're mentioned. You're right. There's no difference. Bishal akum, pas akum. You didn't need to have two separate categories in the Mishnah. The reason they were categorized separately in the Mishnah is because historically the gzeres happened at different times. Okay, we don't know exactly when, but the gzera of shlokos was first, and then pas akum. And he says, "V'afagav masis and tani pas mekamei shlokos." And Tosfos says, "Wait a minute. We look back in the Mishnah. Look, source number one. You look in the Mishnah on Lamed Hamid Beis. How about Zohar? One second, but pas is mentioned first. If you're telling me historically the gzera of bishalakum of shlokos came first, it should not be listed first in the Mishnah." He said, "Enacharami, okay. V'afagav masis and tani pas mekamei shlokos. Kol mokum shlokos gzera kamoni yosor haisa." Okay. So he says, okay, I'm telling you, this was the order. Then he adds something else, which we'll have to come back to momentarily. We're going to see, at least according to Tosfos and others, eventually, at least according to what Tosfos is saying, the gzera of Pasakum, the gzera against eating bread, was repealed, was revoked at a later time, and the one on Bishlakum was not. So, okay. We'll see what he's talking about. Right now, just accept it for the moment. We'll come back to it shortly. But in any event, the Pasul Shlokos, Trei Milin Ataka, two different things. They happen at two different times. They're not exactly the same. That's why they're separate. Okay. That's Tosfos. Now, let's look at the next Amud. Lamed Ches Amud Beis, source number six. There the Gemara says, Amar Ravina, Hilchasa, Hai Harifta, the Shogar Ovid Kochavim, V'Ofa Yisrael. Okay. If you have bread, that was Shogar over Kacham, Rashi says in 7, the Shogar over Kacham, he sik bataner, he lit the fire. The Ofa Yisrael, but the Jew baked it. Inami, Shogar Yisrael, the Ofa Kacham, or the other way around, the Jew lit the fire and the guy baked the bread. Inami, a third possibility, Shogar over Kacham, the Ofa Kacham, okay, the guy lit the fire and he cooked it, but the Ofa Yisrael, Chota Bachitoi, but the Jew stoked the coals, a chota like we have by Shabbos, right? Shem Yichata, right? Remember Shem Yichata? Okay, right? You know, so we're not allowed to cook, leave something, there's no issue to cook on Friday, but I'm not allowed to leave something on the stove from Friday into Shabbos because Gzera Shem Yichata, you might stoke the coals, right? That's the whole issue of Bishon Shabbos, that's what the Blech accomplished, etc. Anyway, but so the Gzera Shem Yichata, that's what the chota b'chita, the Jew, in plain English, if the Jew played any role in the process of producing his bread, the Gemara tells us, halacha is, it's mutter. Okay, three possibilities. Either the Jew, the guy stoked, lit the fire and so on, stoked the coals, everything, but the Jew bag, did the baking, put the bread in, or the other way around, okay, the Jew stoked the fire and the bread, the guy did the actual baking, or the guy did most stuff, but the Jew simply stoked the coals, contributed to the fire. All of that allows the bread in terms of pas akum. Okay. So that's also a very important thing. We call that Yad Yisrael Be'emsa, right? The Jew played a role. Okay, you had a non-Jewish baker and bread and some, but the Jew played some kind of a role. So that takes care of the problem of Pasuk, an important Gemara, Alam Chesam Beis. If you take a look in the Ran seems to have a different wrinkle, throws a different wrinkle, and it's a whole different way of learning, actually. The Ran is on the Rif there in Avodah Zarah, Yud Gimel Beis, source number 8, Sud Yud Gimel Beis in the page of the Rif in Avodah Zarah. The Ran says the following. First, he says, "Divrei Maaseh Pasul Hashem Shana Bashlach." The long Ran, I broke it up into two parts. So we didn't quote the whole thing. Mefurish B'Gemara Shisur Shal Pasul Shem Chasnas. Fine, right, the concern is to eliminate the or minimize the opportunity for intermarriage and social interaction. Good. B'Shem and Gamkein, same thing. B'Avshlach Kos Pirish Rashi Zal Shem Shum Chasnas Nesu. Okay, good. So he asked Tavu the Ran. Now the same Kasha Tosi is. V'im Tama Im Kena Mai Palginu. What do you have to divide them up into separate categories? All these things are the same thing. Whether you're baking or cooking, it's the same, Mister. The concern is intermarriage and food and sharing food and so on. So it's the same thing. Whether you're talking about a baked item or cooked item, who cares? Why do they have to be divided into different categories? Okay. Amai palgin the tamal masis and lepasus lokus betart. Arishneim mishum bishulin. They're both cooked. It's tikkun ochlin. You're preparing food. Umishum chasnos, and the concern is the chasnos, right? So Tosas, the Ran gives the same answer as Tosas, but interestingly, the reverse. Yesh Lomar, Shtei Gzeros Havu. Okay, there were actually two different decrees. Historically, that's the same answer Tosas gives, but he has a different angle. He said, historically, the Gzera on Bisholakam, on Shlok, was cooking food. And the Gzera on Pasakam were two different Gzeras. Okay, Talmidei Vishama Hil Gazwa Pitan. That we know, right? That's one of the Yurchas Dover, like we said. Okay, the Talmidei Vishama Hil, they asked originally bread. Like it said in the Gemara that we had back in Alam Vavim Beis, right? The last line of three. El Alpitam Misham Mishum Yenan, by Yenan Mishum Benosam, Avinosam Mishum Dabar Achad. That's part of the Gzera. That was with Yoshwana Sodabar, as the Gemara says, right? That was the Shwana, among the 18 things, the 18 decrees of Bisham Mishil and so on. Okay, that was first. Okay, Kadisim Gemara, your first second one we saw. The Tarvayu Shachi Bahada Yayan Mishemin. Why the extension of wine? Because shemen is also liquid like wine, okay, and the bread is also very commonly eaten. Bread was a staple of life and so on, okay. The shricha milsa, the achla inish rishasi. In other words, what the Ran says, the gzera b'sham v'sela was not on all cooked things, but the things that are similar to wine that are basic to social get-togethers. You get out for drinks. Shemen, as I said before, was such a basic food that they used all the time. Bread, the staple of meals. Those things, they asked, right? B'sham v'sela, and the Shmona Sodova asked those things because it's similar to wine, right? The things that are associated with social get-togethers, social eating. But they didn't extend the gzera to all things cooked by a non-Jew. Ashok was l'gozu. But then, says the Ran, v'ase be'din achrina v'gozu v'chal ashok v'shmishum chasnas. Period. So it's actually the same answer as Tosas, just in the reverse. According to Tosas, the Gzera on Bishul was first. Gzera on Shok was first, and later was Gzera on Paz. And the Ran said it was the other way around. Okay, historically, I don't know. Okay, I don't know how we can check it out. But the Machok is Tosas and the Ran, but it's the same basic answer that they were assered in two separate Gzeras. Okay? But then the Ran says something else. Veli Nira, I have a different answer. And they're separate because the dinim are not the same. Shall ovde kochavim, shall pas shall ovde kochavim, afilu nishbashal al yidei Yisrael, kevan shall ovde kochavim losho v'archom, and ovde kochavim loko osim yishum chaslas. Says the Ran, when it comes to pas, even if the guy did nothing in the actual baking process, didn't light the fire, didn't put the bread in, didn't, nothing to do with the baking, just he kneaded the dough, okay? The guy did when it was raw, okay? The guy made the flour, something like that, okay? That's already awesome mishum chasnas, okay? And that's not true with regards to bishul, okay? Bishul akum is only if the guy is involved in the process of cooking. And here the Ran is saying that the reason bishul and pas are separate categories in the Mishnah is because when it comes to pas, it doesn't matter. It's not, you don't only go by the actual participating in the tikkun ochel process, but rather it's also it's a matter who owns it. Okay, a matter who owns it, basically. Okay, if it's dough that was manufactured, owned by a non-Jew, then already there's a problem of pas akum. Okay, good. So ask the Ran right away. But wait a minute, how can you say that? What about the Gemara? We just read in the Gemara in Lamed Ches, okay, that if a guy does part of it and the Jew does baking, or the guy lights, the Jew lights the fire and the guy does the baking, or even the guy does everything, the Jew just stoked the coal. We said it's mutter, right? So how does the Ran get out of that? The Ran just says, now, if the guy owned the bread, what do you mean? It's against that Gemara. So says the Ran, no. That Gemara Lamed Ches Meis, the pas shalosh melachos yesh bo, the three steps, right? Three possibilities. We awfully so sorry, it's mutter. That's talking about the Jew's bread, the Jew on the bread. Two different dinim. That could have a ramification. Sometimes you buy, but it's kosher, it's Jewish company, not an issue. You ever buy Kineret challah, or what they call it now, magic challah. You ever see those? It's already prepared. It's frozen dough, right? Wives ever do that? You never saw that, right? It's frozen dough. Okay, but you can buy it. You can go in the kosher stores. The ones that we buy are Jewish companies. It's not an issue. But Louis Yitzuri, let's say you can buy other types of bread, or raisin, you know, or croissants that are frozen. They were baked, you know, they weren't baked yet. The dough was prepared and then frozen. Now you go ahead and you bake it. So according to the Rambam, that's a problem if it's non-Jewish, from a non-Jewish source. Even though the Jew did everything, he did it in your kitchen and you added the egg and put it in the fire that you lit, your oven. According to the Rambam, that's a problem because the guy had a hand in it at the very beginning, even though it had nothing to do with the baking process. Okay, that's what the Rambam says. That's an issue of... when the Gemara says as long as the Jew has some role, okay, that's what we're talking about. The bread was a Jew's bread. So if you buy Kineret challah, I don't think they sell it anymore. It used to be very popular. What's that called? Magic challah, other types of things. These frozen challahs, you know, they're not baked yet. It's really just frozen dough. It's in the shape. You ever seen it? I don't know. It may not be so popular today, but you can buy also, like I said, you can buy what you call it. You can buy, you know, other types of bread that you just stick in the oven and bake. So if it's from a, forget about challah, I'm just talking about it's ready made, it's ready frozen. I think you add an egg or something if you want. And then you stick it in the oven. So again, this is the Jew baking it. It's the Jew's oven. He did everything. The guy had nothing to do with it except it was a guy's product to start with. The dough was frozen. So according to the Rambam, that's a problem. According to Tosafot, that wouldn't be a problem. Okay? So that's what I wanted to bring out over here in terms of the Rambam. And then he writes, there's a later part of that Rambam. I skipped part of it. I didn't print all of it. Kach nirliva afla rivid. I found the Ravid Matzosi Shapir Shalah Hidil come on the Pas Shalos Malachos Yeshbo Dafka be Pas Shalano. He said the Ravid agrees with me that later Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches, which says as long as the Jew has a hand in the middle, that's talking when it's the Jew's bread. He agrees with me, but the Ran is honest and he says, but not because of the same reason. Avalo Mintam, okay, not the same reasons, because he holds the reason there is not Chasnas. Rather, Elishu Choshesh Lepiton Af Mishum Gula of the Chum. He's concerned what kalim are the guy using? What's he baking it in? Okay, maybe baking it in a tin that he just used to bake, I don't know, pepperoni pizza or something. I don't know, something non kosher, right? So that's what the Rabbit is worried about, right? Mishum Gula of the Chum. It's a kalim problem, right? So Gam Kana Pasha, Mishu Sera, Filip Shalom Afa Gom Nesum Negil Mechashash Kader Bas Yoma. Okay, then maybe it's the so he's saying the Ravid said that's the Ravid's concern. And it was there. The Ravid's concern is not like everyone else. We learned that, you know, we're not worried about the ingredients. So we could say Stam Kalim Reina Ben Yoma and so on. So we're not worried about the Kalim. We're not worried about Kashrus per se in terms of ingredients. What we're worried about is the intermarriage issue. But the Ravid doesn't learn that way. The Ravid learns. Again, he ends up agreeing with the Ran on the issue of the Gemara and Lamed Ches, saying that if a Jew has a hand, yeah, that's if it's the Jew's bread. Okay, but otherwise it's also. But the Ran also again of Alarisa about four lines from the second paragraph. Avarisa the Rambam Zal Shekosla he the Gimel Lachos to pass Tam. He quotes the Rambam Perikid Zayin. We'll see the Rambam momentarily. Okay, he says that Lo Chilek Bein Pas Shalom Shalom. The Rambam is more like Tosas, right? The Rambam doesn't mention this distinction. Okay, the Rambam does not hold well, it depends whether it was Ari. He says, no, as long as the Rambam doesn't seem to make a difference, even if the bread was prepared, even if it was a frozen dough prepared by a non-Jew, as long as the Jew did the baking, it's okay. So the Rambam doesn't have this, this chiller. Okay? Anyway, so, but the Ran does. That's interesting, Ran. Ran is a minority opinion. Look in the Rashba. So it's interesting. If you look first at the Rashba, the first Rashba I printed in Source 9, in the Torah Sabai, so Aruch Bayis Gimel Shar Zion. Okay, the Torah of bias. He says, "Inyan pas shel Yisrael, bread belonging to a Jew, shenasa de goy." Okay, So it sounds like he's talking about only a Jew's bread. He said, don't worry, the Gemara says on Ches, on Riochan, quotes that Malachas, Shalosh Malachas Bapas, the three things. Hilchach, high rift of the Shogar Goy, Vafagoy Osir. If the guy lit the fire and baked it, it's also. But Shogar Yisrael Vafagoy Mutter, Shogar Goy Vavisol, sorry. Shogar Vavisol Mahapa Bakalim, even if he just turned the stir, soaked the coals. All right. But you look at the interest. So he quotes that Gemara Lamed Ches, that it's Mutter. But he's opening words, Ilinim Pasha Yisrael. So you could be medayik from that Rashba that he's agreeing with the Ran, that heter and that gemara for the Jew, that the mutter of the Jew had some kind of a role, that's only with pas belonging to a Jew. But he might agree with the Ran that if it was pas belonging to a guy, like in the case of the frozen dough or whatever, it was manufactured by a guy to start with, then it sounds like he would agree with the Ran. However, you look further in Rashba elsewhere, for example, in the Mishmeres Habayis there, in Bayis Gimel Shar Zion, he says, Lav Dafka, Lafika, Kol Shofi, Sol, Afilu Pito Shonachri. Okay, Balabayas, Yeshno, Biyad, Balabayas, Mutter. Here he says explicitly, not like the Ran. Now, in the previous, in the Taras of Bayas Orach, the case he was talking about was Pashal Yisrael. So don't, he's basically telling, don't be Medaik. I didn't mean only Pashal Yisrael. That's what I was talking about over there. I mean, he's not referring to what he said over there, but I'm just saying he put the two things together. He says, don't be medayik. If you look in the Mishmar Sabayas, he says mefurish afil pito shonachri. So it's like he doesn't make the distinction. It's not like they're on, okay? And but he does make another difference in terms of belonging to a balabayas. We'll come back to that point shortly as well. We'll start that today. That part. So anyway, that's the Rashba over there. Similarly, also in the Tshuva, just to hammer home the point, the Tshuva's Rashba, Chelek Aleph Simon Reish Chof Ches 11, okay. Shal to Od Pas Shel Goyim Balabatim Im Siyei Bo Yisiyei Siyei Abo Yisol Kedina Mutar Lo Tshuva Ein Hochen BePas Achar Abaylim. When it comes to bread, he says it Mefurish is probably the most explicit of the three sources. It doesn't matter who owns it. Elamisha Osa Bo Hamlochos Hamachshiras Oso. Who did the act of preparing the food and making it edible? That's all we care about when it comes to bread. So again, here he's saying completely against the Ran. Okay, who was the one who made this edible? Lefichach Pasha Yisrael and Mochel Goy Mutter. Shrei Nasa Behetav Ad Yisrael. Afopi Shachshov Shal Goy. Bechain Balabai's Goy, Shekhana Pasha Palta Mutter, Pasha Balabatim, Shekhana Yisrael, Abishach Yisrael, Usher. Okay, it matters who did the baking. So that's what the Rashba says over there. The Rambam also, as we already saw in the Ran, I printed the Rambam here, source 12, Perig Yud Zayin of Hilchos Macholos Asur Salacha Yud Gimel, says the Rambam, Hidli Ka'akum is Hatan of Rafa by Yisrael, right? The Goy lit the fire and the Jew did the baking. Oh, Hidli Kisrael of Rafa Akum, the Jew lit the fire and the Goy did the baking. Oh, Hidli Ka'akum of Rafa Akum, the Goy lit the fire and did the baking. But a boy Yisrael, Vinir Ha'eshmaat, he stirred the fire a little bit. Oh, Kavshal Aish, he did something else to make the fire burn. Ho, Vinishtatif, Lechas Apas, Arezim Mutaris. Since he had some role, he was a Mishtatif, he partnered in the Pas, it's Mutar. Even if all he did was throw in another piece of wood to make the fire burn longer. Just a very minimal contribution. Right? That's an important point. Just he tossed in another piece of wood that made it burn longer. Okay, many places today they have bakeries, kosher bakeries, but the bakers themselves are non-Jews. But the rabbi, the owner, whatever, the Jew who's there, he turns on the fire. Okay. So that's all based on this din. And again, notice that the Rambam did not make any distinction. The Rambam did not say this is true only of Pashal Yisrael. Matter of fact, it sounds to me even like Pashal Oler Kochavim. The Tur, interestingly enough, okay, in Simon Kufyot Beis and Ar Simon 13, the Tur, Pashal of the Gilulim, Yezroam Sha'osim Kachav, Mishan Le'ikum and Torah, Kamal Pashal of the Kum, Afilo of Yisrael, okay, sounds like even a Jew baked it. He sounds like he's holding like the Ran, because he says if the pas belonged to a non-Jew, even if a Jew did all the baking, it's usher. It's usher. That's like the Ran. Then he goes on, talks about shlokas, and all this is because of chasnas, etc. And let's look at his words. V'chol elu advarim usher, last line of 13. Mishum chasnas pirish, shloyovel ischatim rem, shekol elu moshkin lev ha'adam. These are things which attract people. As I said before, people go out for drinks. They go out to eat. These are the types of things that attract people to each other. Maybe one thing could lead to another. They'll end up intermarrying. But in any event, what looks on the tour, honestly, is like he's holding like the Ran. The Beis Yosef there That's what Beis Yosef says, really. Okay, and that there in Sim Kufi, source 14, Beis Yosef writes, Pashal Gaim, etc., etc. Umidivre, second line, Umidivre Rabbeinu Nirashu Sover Kedas Aran. It looks like the Torah is holding like the Ran. That Pashal Goyim, okay, again, the frozen challah story, Pashal Goyim, even if the Jew did the baking and the light of fire, all the preparation is still no good, okay? But then he modifies the Ran a little bit with something else. And again, it's a long Beis Yosef. I only printed the very beginning, the very end. You can look it up if you want. There, in the beginning of some Kufi Beis. The Nero de Ladas Aran Nam Mutali Shalos says Kim Chalagoy Lo Shularach. He says because if I give my dough to a goy should work it to knead and to make it. I give my flour to knead, making the dough. Okay, and I take it back. That's also okay. All right. Anyway, but then he writes Ulinyan Halacha. Kevon Sharamba Rashbo Maskimim Shalola Khalikman Pasal Pasal Nachri, the Zevzem Mutarim Ida Akhmachos Hakinakinan. The Ran the Beis Yosef writes, even though the tour seems to be holding like the Ran, but since as we saw, the Rambam, the Rashbo, they all don't make that chiluk. And therefore, we're makel in that regard. The Ramo is not as convinced why that is. Okay. I don't know, said the dark emotion in Oz Aleph. Right, I'm not sure why he rejected the Ran so quickly. All right, and he then says the Rashba in one place appears to agree like the Ran. That's what I showed you before. Okay, but he says Ramah says, listen, this whole thing is Drabanan anyway. So as long as we have reliable poskim, more makel, we'll take the more kuladik shita. Okay. And he refers to something in Osvav the Nasters, I printed that too, about a different matter. It's all mutter if you just throw in one coal, one spark, one act of stirring the coals. That's okay. All right. So that's a machlokas. How do we paskin? So let's look at Shulchan Aruch now. Finally, here in Sim Kufi Beis, Sif Aleph 16. Asru Chachamim. Lecho Paschal Amamim of the Kochavim. Mishum Chasas. Okay, that's the basic of the Isser. Right, the Chachamim Asr eating bread the Goyish nations because of Chasnas. And they add in parentheses, Afilu Makom Deleka Mishum Chasnas Asr. Even if the Chasnas is not a possibility, it's a far-fetched possibility, we'll get back to that too, it's Asr. Okay? But, and then he says, Velo Asu Elapas Shel Chameshus Mini Dogon. It's only been the five types of grain, right? Wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt. These other things which you sometimes can make bread out of, but it's not as common. You know, kidneys or rice bread or banana bread. I don't know what other people make. Okay. From kidneys and these kinds of things, not considered part of it. And he adds, but one second, the Ramah says, good, it may not be part of pas, but let's go back to what we said before. Won't it be problem of bishalakum? Because remember, we asked the Kasha, Tosfos asked the Ranes, how come Pasakum and Bishalakum is two separate categories in the Mishnah? Shouldn't it be the same thing? So we gave it a tarot that had to do with the historical development of the different Gzeres. Good. But that's what Ramo is wondering. So why would we say Pashal Kitneo Shor that's not included under Pasakum? Good, but it should still be included under Bishalakum. Right? You hear what Ramo is thinking about? In other words, the Mechaber says the Gzer of Pasakum is only on Pas made from the Chameshus Mini Dogon. Okay, good. But the problem is it should still be a problem of Bishalakum. So the Ramah says Enochanami, but the Gam Eno Osmishu Bishalakum, Eno Olo Shulchan Malachim. We'll see later in the week. One of the rules of Bishalakum is it only applies to the type of food that's a kosher of a food that's worthy to be served al shulchan malachim, like at a state dinner. It's the type of thing you'd serve at a fancy banquet. Okay, Bishalakum applies to the type of food that you would serve at a dignitaries at a banquet. Okay, not stam, again, since the whole idea is to minimize, social interactions. It's not talking about the bigger potato chips. It's talking about something which is, more kosher. Anyway, but there are more points out that point, those items, and those that's a cheaper quality bread, you wouldn't serve it at a state dinner anyhow. So there's no problem with Bishalakam either. Okay, let's look at the Shach. All right. The Shach says, first of all, Pashal Amamim. Okay. Just a moment. Yeah. So first he said, Pasha on Sukkot, Al Tashach says, Mashma da samachaber, b'chol ha-simon, the ain iser pasha l'chom, elak shof over kochavim. Right? It had to be they baked it, accent on the word afo. Right? Not just that he owned it. Again, against Iran. Kemosha kozbe yisizel da, saram rashbo. Okay, like the Beis Yosef, and the other sheet is only according to the Ran, and he said we don't assume like the Ran. Most of the people assume not that way. As far as Ovdei Kochavim, he tells you in Sivkot and Bey, as the Shach does. The Shach tells you to look later in Simon Kuf Chav Gimel and Kuf Chav Dala, just to define Ovdei Kochavim. Okay, we'll get back to that in a second. And Sivkot and Gimel, he says, Mishum Chasas, but Avo Mishum Geula of the Kochavim Lekalamechas. That's the rejection of that Rivid, which the Ran, because we're not worried here about maybe he used a non-kosher pot. Okay, that we're not worried about. The Stam Kleim and a Ben Yomon, right? We've learned that cloud before. All right, so we have to assume that it was probably not a Ben Yomon, so it's okay. The Rivid was worried about it, but the Shach said, we don't pass that. Good. What's he referring to? It's a look in Simon Kuf Chav Gimel. I just printed in 1819 what the Shach sent us to. Kuf Chav Gimel Sif Aleph. Okay, Stam Yenim Shal Ovdei Kochavim. Okay, and it's interesting, just to notice a diuk. Okay, take a look in 16. In our siman, Kufir Bei Sif Aleph, it says Asuch Alecho Pasha Amemim Ovdei Kochavim. Here it just says Ovdei Kochavim. Okay, Ovdei Kochavim. And again, not allowed to drink their wine, okay, or even touch it, and so on, because there is Yain Shnei Tachlulim is Manazeh. She'ino Shchiach Shumus Manaschem Olachom Yeshomim the Mag of the Chom Yain Shalom Eino Osim Ano Rak B'Shtiya V'Chein Stam Yain Shom Eino Osim Lehenas Meno. Okay, so he said, basically, he makes this point. It's not as clear over here, but he says, Ovdei Kochavim, we're talking about really people who are idol worshippers, okay, actual idol worshippers. In Sim Kuf Chav Dalet, Siv Zayin 19, he writes, Yesh mi sh'omer sh'kol mokum sh'omer v'yayin sh'omer sh'umutu b'anov v'asvashiyah, v'etzad negiyah sh'nogah v'anokhri, k'sh'anokhri Ovdei Kochavim. Avon v'ha'yisur b'chal anokhri sh'ena Ovdei Kochavim, and then the dinim are different. So he makes a distinction altogether between, so that's a bit of a discussion. The Shach there in Sim Kufchav Dalet, to quote your base, says it's Lav Dafke. Okay, he mentions the Yishmaelim, the Arabs, and so on, are not Ovdei Kochavim, but the Isser of the Gzer of the Yain would apply anyway. Okay, let's just look to finish up this part of the Sif, and then we'll start the next Sif a little bit today, and we'll finish it tomorrow, Mitzvah. The Taz, what do you mean, B'mokom Shaleka Mishum Chaslus? Take a look in 21, the Taz is going out of. Why did it say, back in the Shulchan Aruch, in 16, it says, but feel in the parentheses, in the first line, but feel of a mokum de lekum mishum chasus. What does it mean? So the Taz says, kigon she'ein lo bonim. I have no children. My children are married off already. I'm not worried about meeting a non-Jewish woman. You know, right? You can concoct a scenario where you could say there's no problem here with chasas. I'm having a glass of wine. My next door neighbor, he has no daughters. So what are we worried about? No, that's a low plug. Okay, we don't make that distinction. That's what that din is. Even though you could argue, what am I worried about? When I marry his daughter, my son's a married daughter, he has no daughters. The answer is it's a low plug. Okay? Why only Pashal Chamesh and Dogan says Cotton Bay? The Taz right. Shazo Dover Chosh, or maybe Lady Kirv Das. That brings people together and so on. All right? To finish up the Sif, the Pesach Tshuva in Sifkot Aleph discusses what about a Yisrael Mumer? Now we know that sometimes for certain dinim is Mumer Dinu Kakum. And Yisrael, a Jew, abandons religion and so on. So with certain purposes, we say Mumer Dinu Kakum. But here, the Pesach Tshuva quotes someone saying no. Okay? Because we say, so Pasha Mumer Shari. Why? Dimishum Chasnas Leka, Dafal Pisha Chot Yisrael, Umuto Liso Bito. A guy becomes a Mumer, his daughter is still Jewish. Right, so there's no issue to marry the daughter. The daughter could be a very fine, upstanding Bas Yisrael, right? In other words, he's saying, even though we say Mumer Dinu Kakum, okay, but not over here, because here there's no issue on the daughter. Okay, we're not going to make Xera don't, interact with this guy because you may come to marry his daughter. So what? The daughter's Jewish, right? His daughter's a Jew, so that doesn't apply over there. Okay. The Prima Gaudim, I forgot to print it. I have my notes. The Prima Gaudim disagrees with that. Cool. Okay. All right, now let's go weiter. We'll start a little bit the next issue. Source 23 is again part of that sugya lamed vav mer aleph going over to lamed vav mer beis, and the issue here again is what is the status of this whole gzeirah of pasakum? What do you mean? What is the status? So we saw in the Mishnah said openly the Mishnah we started with, right? The Mishnah said that Rebbe and his bezdin, Rashi said it wasn't Rebbe, who didn't see it, his grandson. Fine, whoever it was, they revoked or repealed the gzeirah concerning Shemen Akum. What about Pas Akum? So here we have a couple of stories, anecdotes in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Lamed Vav Mer Aleph Gemara Lamed Vav Mer Beis, and what can you derive from there about the nature of the gzeirah of Pas Akum nowadays? Okay, so the Chiyaser of this is Lamed Vav Mer Aleph, you know, the very end is over Lamed Vav Mer Beis, but it's Lamed Vav Mer Aleph in Avodah Zarah. 23. The Chiyas of Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bamar to Amar Darish Rabbi Solomon Tzivin Shemen Rabbi Yehuda Beis Dino Nimra Lavitiru. For Shemen, it's Rabbi Yehuda and his Bezdin. Okay, again, Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah and his Bezdin. They repealed the Gzeira against Shemen Akum. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Nosi Hechem Otzal Mishra Takanta Tamir Sham Vehil. What do you mean? What do you mean? Okay. Shaman Hillel, the ones who made the gzera. Well, what do you mean, Rabbi Yehuda? Whether it was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, we didn't see whoever it was. What came to the right? You can't just repeal that. You can't just revoke an institution, a gzera made by Shaman Hillel, right? And for, it can't be, it's a major issue to revoke an early gzera altogether. But Tanan, ain't bezin yochel avatel divir bezin chaverim can go to him and chachman minyan. You can't just revoke. You have to be greater in chachman minyan. How exactly what it means, minyan. But whatever it means, yeah, you have to be a greater bezin. You can't just revoke. You're telling me that the bezin of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, you know, was greater than Hillel and Shammai? How can they revoke? Why didn't they revoke it? Okay. But Oud, Omar Rabbi Barchana, Omar Yochanan, Bakol Yochel Avato Bezin Diver Bezin Avero, he's more lenient that a later bezin can revoke sometimes the ruling or the decrees promulgated by an early bezin. Okay. But chutz mishmona sedover, but not those 18. Those 18, the yurchas dover, the end of the first park in Shabbos, those are stronger, you know, stronger exeris. You can't. Shafilu yava Elio beis din ein shomalo. Even if Elionavi shows up with his bezin, they can't revoke it. So how could you do away with the shemen, the iser of shemen akum? I mean, the Mishnah says it was revoked, okay, and it was. We don't have din of shemen akum, but the question: how can they do that? It's against the general rule that a later bezin can't undo an earlier bezin, even garam and a chacham minyan, and it's certainly against the rule that the yurchas dover you can't revoke at all. So how can they revoke it? So Amar Misharshia Matam Hoel uposhet isuro berov Yisrael, but shemen lo poshet isuro berov Yisrael. Okay, that's a very interesting. They made a gzeir on shemen, but it didn't catch on. It didn't hold. The gzera didn't work. All right? And therefore, the Amar Shmuel Bar Abba Amar Yochanan, Yashu Rabbo Senu, and who are the Rabbo Senu? Rashi says in 24, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, or Yehuda Nasiya. Okay, they sat down, analyzed the things, and they analyzed it. Okay? Bod Kual Shemin, Shalom Pashad Yisur Barov Yisrael. The Tzibor simply never accepted his gzera. Okay, it was never promulgated. It was never popular. The Samchu Rabbi Seinu Al Divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Al Divrei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok Shul Omrim Ein Gozer in Gzeir La Tzibur Elin Kenro La Tzibur Yochel Lamud Bo. Okay, you can't make a Gzeir on the Tzibur if the Tzibur can't take it. Apparently, I mean, Shemen was such a thing, and olive oil was bought from non-Jews, and it was such a common type of thing that the Gzeir never took hold. Sometimes the Gzeris Chachamim, it's not a din in the Torah, tough luck, it's a din in the Torah. Okay, it's a din in the Torah, you can't say, well, people don't accept it. You have no right not to accept it. But Gzeris Rabbanan, there is this concept that ain't goes in Gzeris Latzibra, Elen Kain Rabba Tzibra Yochel Amabo. And this was a Gzeris that simply never took on, the Gzeris of Shemin. All right? Don't remember Adabar Abba Micro. He quotes a Pasuk, as I said this morning, I want to see the Pesukim. Right, it's a Pasuk in Malachi, Paragimel Pasuk test. It's in the Haftarah for Shabbos HaGadol. It says, "Bame'era tem ne'arim." This goes over to the top of Lamed Vav Mer Beis Amud Zara. "Bame'era tem ne'arim ovosia tem kol magoy kulo ika goy kulo in lo lo." The Darshan of Pasuk Me'era accepted something as a curse. You know, if you violate it, and you're still doing it. I was in Musa Navi, but it says Hagoy Kulo. So Darsh from the phrase Hagoy Kulo, that you can only ask for something on the people if the Goy Kulo, if the, you know, the majority or all Ruba Kulo of the people accept it. Okay. So now that takes care of that. That's the first part of the Gemara. Okay. That's not where the anecdotes are. I'm going to take that. That's the basic Gemara about Shemen being repealed. But earlier on Lamed Hamed Beis, what about Pas? Was that also repealed? Was the Gzer of Pas Akum also revoked? So here you have conflicting reports in the Gemara. Let's take a look at 27. Very important. We'll wrap up shortly. Okay. Lamed Hayamid Beis, about Pas. Omer of Kana, Omer Biochanan. Pas Lo Hutra Bebezdin. Okay. Pas Akum was not revoked. The Bezdin did not permit it. Apparently, when it came to Shemen, they revoked the Gzer because it's Enachti Biochal Amadbo and so on. But this Gemara says, of Kana says, Enachti Biochanan, they did not revoke it when it came to Pas Akum. So Gemara asks, Michal Dik Aman Deshari. If someone has to make a statement, tell them they didn't revoke it, what's the implication? That somebody thought they did revoke it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to make a statement. Right? The mere fact that he said, no, don't think they revoked it, they didn't revoke it, means somebody thought they did. So, Mikhaldi commander Shari, in, yes, the Chiyasar of Dimi, Omar, Pam Achas, Yotze Rebbe Lasode. One time, Rebbe was out in the field someplace, out in the, you know, out in the boondocks, you know, out in the rural country, okay? And a guy brought him some bread. Pasporni is oven baked bread. My face saw whatever the amount was. Oh, this is delicious. This looks delicious. Maro chacham also. Why did the chacham ask this bread? It's delicious. So what do you mean, maro chacham? Why did the chacham ask this bread? We know why. Mishum chaslus. We know why. What was Rabbi puzzled by? Okay. Why was Rebbe wondering, oh, okay, this bread is so delicious. Why in the world the Chachamim Aser? What do you mean? We know why the Chachamim Aser. We've been talking the last hour. And it said, because of Chaslas. So what's Rebbe? Ella Maro Chachamim La Osro Basodeh. Okay. I don't think it applies out here in a rural area. What's the idea? Okay. Out here in the field, okay. Look in Rashi. I'm sorry, it's on the next page. Rashi is 28. There on Avodah Zarah Lamed Hamed Beis. Purne is a tanner. It's a type of oven. Okay, it's a certain type of oven, a purne. He bought a bread baked in his purne. It's a big oven. Okay. Again, I once told you the difference between a tanner and a kedera, right? The kedera is a, like a box shape with things on the top with a fire, whereas a tanner is sometimes you see in these old, you know, you go to these colonial houses or something like that. It's got a wide bottom and it gets thin at the top. Right. Okay. Anyway, be that as it may, the different types of ovens. So that was oven baked bread. Good. But Rebbe felt, don't asur it besada. Why? The leka lemeches l'mshuche that cry ba'almahu. Because he was there temporarily. What are you worried about? He's suddenly going to become friendly with this guy. He met him for the first time now. He's never seen him again. Right. He's out in the farmland, the boondocks somewhere, out in the rural country. So Rebbe said, here, that's what I understand. The gzera, The gzera doesn't make any sense over here. Okay, there's no problem. Like we already saw in the Shulchan Aruch, that even there's no problem with chassos. But Rebbe seemed to be saying, no, the gzera didn't apply out here. I'm out here for a temporary visit someplace to some rural countryside somewhere. I'm not staying here, and I'm not going to see these people ever again. There's no problem of chassos. So now continues the Gemara, Kesvur in Ha'am, hit the Rebbe Pas. Oh, everybody thought that Rebbe revoked the Pas Akum. Okay, that's what they thought. Belohi, Rabbi Lohi Teresa Paz. It's not what happened. Okay, it was a particular circumstance out in the field. People misunderstood. This is always a problem when you have, you hear Gedolim stories, right? The Gedolim do something, everybody's, oh, I know why I did that, and they come to conclusions, right? I remember this was before my time, but I'm told it's true, that the Rav, the Hon Rav, one time showed up, we were often daven mincha right after Shia. Okay, with the Shia in those days, and the Rav Shia was on the fourth floor. In the first hall, which is now the PR department over there. So that's where the Rav's room was. Anyway, so we davened mincha after Shir in the Shir room. So the Rav started to daven, he was bent over, like the whole Shmoneh Esrei is bent. Okay, and guys thought maybe it's because he wants to be kafuf and anivus and so on and so forth. So guys started thinking maybe we should daven like that also. After all, people mimic the Rav. And then they asked the Rav, and he said his back is bad. He's got a bad back, so he can't stand straight. Right? You have to know, sometimes you hear stories of Gedolei Torah, and there are hundreds of these. I don't know if it's true or not true. You know, they said about Rav Moshe once, he was at a bris, and there are two types of milk, two types of Chalav Yisrael. So he picked up one carton, and he looked at it, and he put it down. And he picked up the other carton and said, oh, he likes this heksher better than that heksher. And they asked him, no, the first carton was empty. That's why I picked up, put it down, it was empty. You know, everybody sees sometimes what Gedolei Torah do, and they jump to conclusions. You have to know who's telling the story. Because Rav Shechter tells the story from the Rav, you know that he checked it out, that it wasn't a misunderstanding. But we see this in the time of the Gemara also. They saw Rebbe ate that bread. Oh, he undid the whole Pasakum Xerin. Well, it's not true. Now, continue another story. Rav Yosef, typical, right? Two Jews talking. And said, no, that's not what happened. Here's the story, right? That's exactly what happened. Omar, look in the Gemara. Rav Yosef, Omar, Vitam Rav Shmuel, Omar, Lo Kachay Amai. Said, that's not what happened. You got the story wrong, buddy. It's not what happened. He heard it different. I heard, you know, it's like a joke. Oh, and I heard it differently, right? He heard it differently. Lo Kachay Amai. El Omar, Pam Achaz, Holach, Le Rebbe, Lamachom Echav, Rav Pas, Dochol, Ketamidim. Okay, one time Rebbe traveled. Yeah, it was a rural area, but he was with Jews there, and he saw they didn't have enough bread. Omer Rebbe, Ein Kan Palta, is there no baker in town? How come there's no bread for the people? There's no baker here? Kisur no Amlomer, so people thought, oh, Palta over Kacham means there's no baker, even a non-Jewish baker. Sounds like he's allowing, Palta means a baker, he's allowing Pasakum is baked by a baker, a non-Jewish baker. Okay, we'll come back to this point. No, it's not what he meant. He meant a Jewish baker. And even those who say that Rebbe was allowing, even if he's right, Rebbe was allowing. And by the way, we can understand the difference. Why should be a difference? This is called pas palter. Why should be a difference if the bread was baked by a baker or by stama goy? And the answer is because if a guy's a baker and that's his profession and it's commercial products. You're not going to come to Yisrael Chasnus. You're going to get, you know, the baker doesn't know who you are. You don't know who he is. You're just going, you're buying from a row of bread that you buy it. So in that case, that's called pas palter. Again, palter means a baker. It's commercially produced, right? When are we worried about Chasnus? My next door neighbor invites me over to have some croissants or to have some fresh baked bread. So that's already the camaraderie, like I mentioned before. But when it's pas palter, when it's commercially manufactured bread, it's not an issue, right? You go to the store today, you buy bread. Again, you have to be concerned about the ingredients. But aside from the ingredients, when you see an OU or a Kofke, whatever, on whatever bread, Fryhofer's bread or whatever, today, that's not Pas Yisrael. Just because it has a Heksher, all the Heksher is telling you is that there are kosher ingredients, no problem. They didn't mix any chazer into the, or whatever. Any trade for ingredients, and it's a kosher ingredients, but it's not pas yisrael, but it's okay because it's pas palter. It was baked by bread. Do you have any idea who baked that bread? Does the baker have any idea who you are? It was commercially produced. So, but the way he tells the story, I feel the man omar palter come lo mile de leka palter yisrael. Even that's not allowed unless there's no Jewish baker there. Of mokom de ika palter yisrael. No, but there's a Jewish baker. You shouldn't eat even that. Ryochan goes even further. No, even if there is no Jewish baker, but it's still only mutter, he says it's a progression. One opinion is, as long as it's baked by a non-Jewish baker for commercial purposes, it's okay. There's no gzer of pasakum. The other Amora says, no, even if it was baked by a non-Jewish baker, but it has to be a place where there's no Jewish baked bread available. Okay? But if there's Jewish baked bread available, you don't rely on that kula. And Rabbi Yochanan said, no, and even if there isn't, it has to be, it's only true out in the field, out in a rural area. As I said before, there's little problem with contact. Abu Ir lo, Mishum Chasnus. Then the Gemara concludes, Ivo was the father of the Amora Rav. Ivo have a manchis varcho pas abe mitzori. He would eat bread, you know, by the border. Okay, meaning by city in the village or whatever. It wasn't quite in the boondocks, but Amalu Rava Tamar of Nachman Yitzchak Lo Tishtar Bahad the Ivo, or meaning the Ivo Dakal Achme Amara. He violated this whole issue. I was a father of Rav. He's not quoted that openly. But anyway, bottom line, with different shitas, we all of a sudden were introduced to a possible heter of pas palter. Possible heter. Okay, it was baked for commercial purposes. Some say that that's what Rebbe allowed. Others say, but Rebbe allowed that. Even that only was if there's no Jewish bread available. And some say even that, it's only out in the rural areas, not in the city. What the Gemara does not do, tell us, well, so what's the din? What's the din? What's the story with this paspalter, right? Let's just look a little bit, and then we'll see the Rishonim Hashem tomorrow, in another minute or two. Okay? Now, Rashi and the 28, just to tell us, Obey Mitzori, Besados Eitz Alam Mitzori, out in the field near the border. Fine, he wasn't worried about it. Okay? Tosus says, that's important, Tosus and Avodah Zarah, not page, on hand base, Michlal Dikaman the Shori, he says, Miklal the Klamar Pas Lahutra Bezin, since Rabbi Yochanan said that they never revoked the Isra Pasako and Bezin, Miklal the Boy Abisharle, Alma Lo Poshat Isuro. He said this is just like Shemin. Umikan Samchu Ato Lecho Pashalavikachobin. A fourth sheet. The Tosis concludes that the Gemara is trying to tell us that that in the end, the Gzera of Pas Akum also was not accepted by the Rova Tzibor, just like we said by Shemin. Okay. Even though they didn't formally, Tosis, even though they didn't formally repeal it, Lemaisa, they didn't formally repeal it. You know why? Because they didn't have to, because they never caught on to begin with. That's how Tosis learns it tomorrow. Tosis learns it based on Rishalmi, okay, which I printed here. So it's Amalo Poshri Suro. So that's the way Tosis learns. Tosis learns that, you know, from the mere fact that he had to say that they didn't revoke it, you know why they didn't revoke it? Because they didn't have to revoke it, because it was never caught on. And Tosis says, Halacha L'maaseh, Umikan Samchu Ata Lecho Pasha L'Kavim, Kevin Shalom Pasha Yisur B'chol Yisrael. Yesh Lismoch Al Dibur B'Shem Yisrael, Lebar B'Lai Zerub Tzadar T'Amri, Ein Gozun Zer L'Tzivet Alim Ken Rov B'Tzivet Chol L'Amabro. So Tosis brings the opinion that, you know what, Pas Akum is mutter, and you know, even individually baked, not Pas Palter, not the commercially baked from a baker, but even a private goy, okay, it's mutter because the Xeri never caught on, the Xeri didn't stay. And he says it brings a raya, and he also points to Yushalmi. So I'm going to show you the Yushalmi quick, and that will finish today. Yushalmi is in Avodah Zarah, Parak Beis, Halacha Ches, okay? Piton, Rabbi Yaakov, Bar Achav, Shem Yochanan, Pas, Mehalocha shel imumhi. This imum means confusion. Imum, as Rashi says, not Rashi, but the Pnei Moshe. Pnei Moshe, there in Avodah Zarah, Parak Beis, Halacha Ches 31. Pas, Mehalocha shel imumhi, shel gimgum. It's mixed up, okay? There's a confusion about it, okay? Because ani omer mokom shapas iso mitzuya bedinu shtei pas nachem asura. Okay? I hold that's a Rabbi Yonasan, not Rabbi Yochanan, it's a Rabbi Yonasan, but he agrees with Rabbi Yochanan. If there's pas Yisrael mitzuya, if Jewish bread is available, then pas nachem should be asur. But they went ahead and made a mistake and they were matter it. O mokom shein pas iso mitzuya bedinu shtei pas nachem uteris. Or you could look at the other way. No, a place where there's no passage available, so pas nochem should be allowed. V'ima alev asura, and they mixed it up and they were asurit. Okay, so you read through Yushalmi, elakeni makom she'ein pasul mitzuy b'dinu shtei pas nochem asura v'ima alev etura mitnei chayin nefesh. They went ahead and they were matirit. Okay, so what comes out is that in a rural area, that's what makes that chilek, in a rural area, if there's no pas Yisrael, okay, then it's mutter for sure. In a city, okay, and there is pas Yisrael available, then it's also for sure. The question is, where does stuff fall in the middle? And it was Shalmi's mashma that perhaps they would revoke the entire decree. Bottom line, Rabosai, okay, bottom line, we have a bunch of different shitas, and with this we'll finish for today, right? We have a bunch of different shitas. Some based on these the Babli and the Yerushalmi, some say that the Pas Akum Gzera was disappeared altogether. Others said it disappeared only if there is no there's no Pas Yisrael available. And others will say even if there is Pas Yisrael available, it's only out in rural areas, not in the city areas. What was the other sheet again? What was the other shita? Well, we had three shitas before, no? From the Babli. From the Babli. Then we have three shitas. Just a second. Out in the field, no stuff available. Oh, no, okay, the three so far. The fourth will seem to be shown. Okay, but anyway, so that's where we're at. So it's a little bit unclear where we're holding now. Okay, and as a machlokas rishonim, we're going to see machlokas rishonim who we follow. Again, according to Tosu, we just read in Avodah Zarah. All right, the whole discussion implies that the thing was revoked. Okay, and then he quotes in his time that the widespread practice was to eat the pasakum. Okay, we'll see the Rashba and others disagree. We'll have to see how the Shulchan Aruch passes in the Sibbeis. We'll continue that tomorrow, Mr. Shem. Okay, so everyone should have a good day. So, tentatively speaking, we'll set for 10:30 tomorrow, right? Okay. All right, everyone have a good day.
Thank you very much, Rebbe.
Thank you.